starts off with a quote, and this is from a lady who some of you might remember from years ago, a lady by the name of Irma Bombeck. She was an American newspaper columnist and humorist. And she said, "Insanity is hereditary. It's hereditary. You can catch it from your kids." But that insanity is not the only thing that we can catch from our kids and from our grandkids as well. A couple of winters ago, and although you may not remember it, I caught a bad cold from one of my grandsons, who shall remain nameless. But during a visit to his home, my grandson and I were sharing some toast and a banana, believe it or not. And because neither he nor I knew that he was contagious with the beginnings of a cold, the cold bugs jumped over from my grandson to the snack and then to me. And I was stricken. In the sermon today, I'd like us to study the subject of contagion. And as you can understand, it's a very commonly discussed topic of conversation all around the world at this time. I have no doubt at all that there's many people out there who don't believe in God. People saying things like, if there really is a God, why would he allow such terrible things as COVID-19 to happen? But if you really think about it, contagion really is part of God's creation. It's part of his physical law. We have to really think about that. Most contagion, though, is perceived as being a bad thing. And yet, surprisingly, there are actually good kinds of contagion, too. And we'll come to them later. But first, let's look at the more commonly known bad types of contagion. There are relatively mild contagious diseases, such as a common cold, which in this day and age we look at as relatively mild. But what we today might think of as mild diseases were not always so. And this is illustrated in this encyclopedia article about the country of Hawaii. This is so quote here. After Captain Cook's visit, the publication of several books relating to his voyages, the Hawaiian Islands attracted many European visitors, explorers, traders, and eventually whalers, who found the islands to be a convenient harbour and source of supplies. These visitors introduced diseases to the once isolated islands, causing the Hawaiian population to drop precipitously. The native Hawaiians had no resistance to Eurasian diseases such as influenza and measles. By 1820, disease, famine, and wars between the chiefs killed more than half of the native Hawaiian population. And during the 1850s, measles killed a fifth of Hawaii's people. End quote. A fifth of Hawaii's people. Even today, serious contagious diseases can bring on severe disability and death. And the whole world is finding this out right now as we're experiencing this COVID-19 pandemic. We frequently read in the scriptures about the awful contagious disease called leprosy. 62 mentions of leprosy in the King James Version, and they include the Lord God's common sense laws about how to contain contagious disease. And these are known today as quarantine laws, and they should be maintained for all contagious diseases, and certainly by Christians who are striving to live God's way of give. Because it can now be easily treated, leprosy, and it's the official name for it is Hansen's disease, it's not as common today as it once was. Although its prevalence is on the wane in most continents, it's still quite common in some African countries and some Southeast Asian countries. Right now, again, once again, the world is suffering the effects of the much publicized COVID-19 virus, regarding which there may be as many differing opinions and information sources as there are websites on the topic. But according to the European Center for Disease Prevention and Control, since it's the first detection of COVID-19 in December of last year in Wuhan, China, as of yesterday, COVID-19 has killed more than 634,000 people worldwide, and that includes 245,000 fatalities in North America, spread between Canada and the USA. Despite some opinions that I've heard over the years in the church, Church of God members are not immune, not automatically immune to contagious diseases. Some church members that we know have contracted COVID-19, and at least one member has died of it in Northern Ireland. And then going back, in 2009, and we were keeping the Feast of Tabernacles with CGG in Columbia, Missouri, many of the brethren there, including myself, came down with a really nasty flu bug. I'm not sure whether it was the swine flu that was going around at that time. There's a lot of jokes about that around the church. But swine flu in that particular year reached pandemic proportions, 2009. And the seriousness of the symptoms varied from one church member to another, but one thing was for very sure, it was very contagious. And then quite often we get prayer requests from Africa about brethren, especially in Zambia, who are frequently afflicted nearly every year with malaria. Nearly every year we have prayer requests on that. But thinking about our grandchildren and our children, how often when one of our little children or grandchildren become ill, how often do we say or pray or think, oh, that I could take his or her pain or sickness away from him or her and suffer it myself for him or her. If only I could. But of course we can't. We can catch it from him or her, and we can suffer equally as badly or even worse, but we cannot share or reduce his or her suffering by taking it upon ourselves. But Jesus can. And Jesus did. He bore our illnesses by the scourging that he suffered. Please turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And for people who've forgotten their glasses, they can just listen along. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. We read this quite often on Passover night. He was wounded for our transgressions. Remember that, transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Remember that too. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And then all the way over to 1 Peter chapter 2, where this Isaiah scripture is quoted. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, just one verse, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, even though it's true that physical healing is totally according to God's will, God's perfect will, back in the 1990s, some of the church leaders back then began to chip away at the Bible's teachings regarding physical healing, including these scriptures here. Some of the church leaders actually at that time mocked the possibility of illness being caused by something called physical sin. But in doing so, they were ignoring God's word in the scriptures that we've just read there in Isaiah and 1 Peter and others too. Please turn over to James chapter 5. James. James chapter 5. Read verses 14 to 16. James chapter 5 and verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Again, all according to God's will, of course. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So from these verses, brethren, and as others as well, I for one strongly believe that it's very logical that physical sickness and disease are caused by physical sin. In other words, the breaking of God's physical laws. I don't have to go there, but in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, the Apostle John wrote that sin is the transgression of the law. Now James, in the scripture that we just read there, was inspired to write, if he has committed sins, and that implies that the sins, the broken physical laws that caused a person's sickness or injury may or may not have been committed by the person who's suffering the results of those sins. So a person who's suffering from some contagious disease, whether major or minor, may not have been the one who sinned and caused his own suffering. He might have picked it up from a contact with the teller's counter during an innocent visit to the bank. When the teller gave him the cash that he needed, he might have licked his fingers while he was counting the notes. The physical sin may have been committed way back down the chain. For example, experts believe, with regards to COVID-19, that the virus originated all the way over in Wuhan, China. Perhaps because of the human consumption of some very unclean animals that God forbade us to eat. Or, and this is a more sinister possible explanation, that the germs, that the virus escaped from a virology lab. You know, I don't know. But in either case, sins were committed. Additional sins may be committed by the customers or the employees in stores or banks who refuse to quarantine themselves. And this is a sin that is commonly, or has been in the past anyway, even encouraged by companies and managers of some companies. And I've witnessed this in my own work experience. Instead of encouraging sick employees to stay home, and by doing so, cut the chain of contagion short, and thus reducing the numbers of sick employees, some companies and some managers actually harass sick employees who are trying to obey God's quarantine laws by staying home when they're sick. The same managers praise, and I've seen this in my own experience, they praise or even reward sick employees who go into work coughing and sneezing the germs over their customers and their fellow employees, thus spreading the disease. So that's the bad news. Let's look at some good news. We've looked at the more common bad contagion, but believe it or not, there really is a good kind of contagion. Not much in the physical realm, it's true, but is a little quote here from healthline.com. It says, "Not all bacteria are bad guys. In fact, our bodies are home to an estimated 100 trillion good bacteria. Not only do we live in harmony with these beneficial bacteria, but they are actually essential to our survival. Good bacteria help our bodies digest food and absorb nutrients, and they produce several vitamins in the intestinal tract, including folic acid, niacin, and vitamins B6 and B12. Beneficial bacteria may also protect us against their dangerous relatives that cause disease by crowding them out, producing acids that inhibit their growth, and stimulating the immune system to fight them off. When helpful bacteria multiply and thrive in our bodies, they act as our protectors." Protectors. So, see, though, you can actually get yogurt, you know, that's got probiotics and prebiotics in there. They're very helpful. And again, there's not much in the way of good contagion in the physical world, but there is definitely lots of good contagion in the spiritual realm. What is it? And where would we catch it? And the answer to that is that we can catch it from our elder brother, Jesus. We can catch what Jesus had during his human sojourn. We can catch what he, in effect, infected himself with, and what he still has. We can catch what he had in at least two ways. Now, well, let's go through them. First of all, we can catch, or we can contract it through closeness to him. We can catch what Jesus had and still has if and when we get close to him, and the Father too, of course, when we draw near to them. There's no social distancing required when it comes to God the Father and Jesus. Quite the opposite, in fact. The Levites, please turn over to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. The Levites, including the Aaronic priests, were commanded to draw near to the Lord God, to draw near to him in their daily tabernacle and temple duties. And here's just one. There's all kinds of verses that tell us this. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 6. "Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him." And please go all the way back to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Because we are priests as well. We are priests in training for the new covenant Melchizedek priesthood. And as such, we're commanded to do the same, to draw near to God. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 19. Hebrews 7, 19. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. We draw near to God. And over to James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. Over a couple of pages there. James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4 verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Okay. Question is, how do we draw near to God? How do we draw near to the Lord Jesus and the Father? No surprises, it's not rocket science, it's good old tried and tested P, S, M and F: daily prayer, Bible study, meditation and occasional fasting. That's how we do it. Okay, what's the second way that we can catch what Jesus had and has? Let's go over to Romans chapter 8. There's another couple of draw near verses here. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 2. So you've got to be jumping all over the place here today. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So, even closer than mere nearness to Jesus and the Father, they and what they have are dwelling in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know both Warren has been through this many times before, and I have too. But this is such a very important concept that Jesus told us about it and repeated it often. Let's go back to John chapter 14. So this closeness, you can't get any closer than having Jesus living in you. John chapter 14 and verse 10. John chapter 14 verse 10. Do you not believe that I, Jesus, am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jump down to verse 20. Verse 20. At that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. So, and then over to chapter 17, still in the book of John. Chapter 17, in the astonishing Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That includes us, brethren. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Again, how could we be any closer than this to Jesus and his Father? A couple more verses on this route here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, God the Father, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Okay, so God the Father and Jesus Christ are in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And verses 23 and 24. And this is his, talking about the Father now, this is the Father's commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwells in him. Dwells in him, and he in him. Jesus dwells in us, we dwell in Jesus. We can't get our human minds around it. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Okay. And just over in the next chapter, chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 4 verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So there's we can't understand it totally, because we're not totally spiritual yet, but okay. So how can we be in Jesus? We can be in Jesus in the same way as he is in his Father. Okay, let's go back to the Gospel of John again, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 10. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So the answer is right there. We can be in Jesus by abiding in his love. And how do we do that? By keeping his commandments. By keeping his commandments. Okay, another question here. What can we catch from God the Father and Jesus? What can we catch from them? What can we catch from them by drawing near to them? What can we catch to them? What can we catch from them by dwelling in them and having them dwell in us? Well, there's probably many, many things, but I came across four different things that we can catch from them. The first one is sanctification, otherwise known as consecration. Please turn all the way back to Exodus chapter 19. The Lord God commanded the Israelites to build a sanctuary. Okay. And the word, the Hebrew word for sanctuary is Kodesh, Q-O-D-E-S-H. And in some places it's called, in the Bible it's called the Holy Place. The Holy Place, it's one of the main areas of the temple building. So the Lord commanded the Israelites to build a sanctuary into his tabernacle, so that for the very purpose of the Levitical priests, so that they could be near to him. There's a couple of scriptures we'll look at in this regard. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 22. And this is kind of reversed a little bit here, but Exodus chapter 19 verse 22. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And the word sanctify, I think it's sanctify in the King James Version and consecrate in the New King James Version. They're translated from the Hebrew word Kadesh, Q-A-D-E-S-H, and they mean to make holy, to prepare, to dedicate, and to purify. And that's what the Levites and the priests had to do. They had to purify themselves, to make themselves holy, to prepare themselves, to dedicate themselves. But also, it's the same for us under the new covenant, Melchizedek priesthood. We don't have a physical temple at this time. A physical temple is not required at this time, but we're still required to do the same thing. Let's jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. And verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of him, talking about the Father, but of the Father are you in Christ Jesus, who of God the Father is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So again, that sanctification or that consecration is something that we can catch from the nearness and the indwelling of God the Father and Jesus. What else? The second point in this regard is that we can catch from them a desire to serve. We can catch a desire to serve them, to serve God the Father and Jesus, and to serve one another, to serve God's people. All the way back again to Numbers, please. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16 and verses 8 to 10. Numbers chapter 16, verse 8. Then Moses said to Korah, Korah we know went off the rails, but he was part of the tribe of Levi at the time. Moses said to Korah, hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated the tribe of Levi from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to serve them? The Hebrew word for serve is sharath, S-H-A-R-A-T-H, sharath. Verse 10, and that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you. So, same for us. The Lord Jesus has separated us, separated his new covenant, Melchizedek, priests in training. He separated us from the people of our nations, whether the Israelitish people or otherwise. And he has brought us near to himself. in order for us to serve him and to serve our brothers and sisters. And this is illustrated well in the book of Ezekiel, the prophetic book of Ezekiel. Now I'm still not sure which temple that Ezekiel is writing about. I know it's a prophecy, and I believe that it's not a temple that has existed yet, but anyway, that's for another sermon. Let's go over to Ezekiel chapter 40, please. Ezekiel chapter 40. Such an astonishing, wonderful book that I need to spend more time in. Ezekiel chapter 40 and verse 46. I'm trying to get out there. I'm trying to get this idea of service here. Ezekiel 40 verse 46. The chamber which faces north, and this is part of this temple that he's describing, is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, from the sons of Levi, who come near the Lord to minister, to sharath to him. Again, this Hebrew word for minister is sharath, and it can be translated as to serve or to wait upon. Over to chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. Just one verse there. Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 15. Ezekiel 44 verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary, there's a sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, and going astray from the Lord is the very opposite of coming near to the Lord. Continuing verse 15. They shall come near me to minister, to sharath to me, and they shall stand before me, right there, to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. So, again, what we see from this, that the Lord God he doesn't want his people to be socially distancing ourselves from him. Next chapter, chapter 45 and verse 4, just one verse here, Ezekiel chapter 45 and verse 4. It shall be a holy section of the land belonging to the priests, the ministers, again, sharas, the servants of the sanctuary, who come near to minister, to minister and to serve to the Lord. It shall be a place for their houses and a holy place for the sanctuary. Okay, so the idea is there is we come close to God, we come close to Jesus Christ, and one of the things that rubs off on us is the desire to serve. What else can we catch by drawing near to God the Father and Jesus? So the third point is we can catch trust in God and a desire to declare his works, okay? So just one scripture here, Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. So David there is relating drawing near to God with two things, with trusting him and declaring his works. So this is a symptom. We can catch the symptom of trust or faith. We can call it faith in Jesus, in the Father, through closeness to them, through the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. And we can catch the desire to declare, to do our part in declaring their works and having a part in the preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. And you know, we do that by our daily example. You know, we don't have to be... there's a fellow in Nanaimo who goes around with a sandwich board on, and it's covered in scriptures, you know, like, you know, prepare to meet your doom and stuff like that. We don't have to do that. Our very example and the fact that we, you know, we should never be ashamed to, you know, to mention our God and the Sabbath day to other people. We don't have to stuff it down our throats, but we should never be ashamed of it. Okay. Anything else? What is it? And this fourth point is probably the most important symptom of all that we can catch from God the Father and Jesus, and that is the full nature of God. Let's go all the way back again to 1 John chapter 3, very well known scripture that we read at the feast every year. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. By the way, it's just over 9 weeks and 4 days to opening night. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. When it says, okay, we are children of God, we are children of God the Father, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He, the Father, is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. I always related that verse to Jesus when we see Jesus, but I'm talking about the children of God. We know that He's talking about the Father there. So when we see, I mean both of them really, when we see Jesus and when we see the Father as they are, at that time, we know that we're going to be closer to them than we are now. And at Jesus' return, at the very beginning of the millennium, and we, at that time, we'll become closer to Him than we ever can be during this life. We'll then catch Jesus' full nature and we'll become just like Him. We'll be like cloned twin brothers and sisters of Jesus. But then, after the millennium, when the Father comes to be with His people, when He brings His heavenly tabernacle with Him, we're going to enter the ultimate level of closeness, and we'll even be like Him. We'll even be like God the Father. I mean, it's just hard to get our minds around it. Let's just look at that verse that we read every year. Revelation chapter 21, right at the back there. And verse 3, just that one verse. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. That's just an amazing... This is the ultimate destiny that we have, that we're going to be together with God the Father, and we're even going to be like God the Father. We talked about, you know, bad germs and bad bacteria and viruses and all of that. And we also, the Bible talks about bad seeds and talks about tare seeds in the soil. And just like bad seeds, like tare seeds, we have bad germs, bacteria and viruses that grow into full-blown diseases in individuals, and into epidemics and pandemics in groups of people. But just like a good seed, a good germ or seed, the seed of God's word must take root and grow. And it must grow in a good, fertile soil of the minds and the hearts of receptive, obedient human beings. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. And just take a couple of verses here from the parable of the sower. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. We all know it very well. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, so that we know what the seed is. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Jump down to verse 15. But the ones, the seeds that fell on the good ground, are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the seed, the good seed, is the word of God, and the soil symbolizes the minds and the hearts of human beings onto whom and into whom the seed falls. So again, I always joke about it, but we are dirt. We know that, you know, we're from dust thou art and to dust thou shalt return. And we've already seen that the Father is in his firstborn son Jesus, and like a good germ or a good bacteria or a good seed, Jesus, the word of God, is in his people. Okay? He's in the soil, he's in his people, and vice versa. True Christians are in Jesus, and Jesus is in the Father. But just to recap here, bring us up to date. Contagion often comes through close proximity and through nearness to an infected person, and through the closeness to our closeness to God the Father and Jesus, we can catch the positive germs that they have. Bad contagion can so easily beset us. It's how easily, thinking back to that feast flu in 2009, how easily that flu spread right through the CGG membership that year. How innocently we all caught it, and probably through all of the handshaking and the hugging and the kissing that we do. And so we can catch bad diseases so very easily, it takes no work at all to catch them. But it usually takes much more effort to avoid them, and even more effort to get rid of them once we are infected. And this is true with bad spiritual diseases as well as physical diseases as well. Let's look again in Hebrews chapter 12. Again, just one word, one verse. Hebrews chapter 12. This is what's known in the trade as cherry picking. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's talking here about weights and races and running and patience, and so indicating that it does take lots of effort, and we must be striving to lay aside and to separate, to quarantine ourselves from spiritual germs, spiritual viruses, which are sin. We also need to separate ourselves from the carriers as well. Please turn over to Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. The carriers. We must socially distance ourselves from the carriers. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Or plague is like COVID-19 is a plague, and we're talking about the spiritual plagues here. And so come out of here, my people, so that you be not partakers of her sins and that you not receive of her plagues. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and the Apostle Paul saying basically the same thing here. So we've got to socially distance ourselves from people who, you know, in many cases in ignorance, are infected with bad spiritual germs and viruses. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking here about inveterate sinners. No, he's not suggesting that we should avoid unconverted relatives and friends who are, you know, who we can think of as being quite decent in that way. He's talking about inveterate sinners here. And we all know what Jesus' example was in this regard. You know, he sat down and he ate with sinners. And we are, once again, we are Melchizedek priests in training. And we must be emulating him because he's our high priest. Let's go over to Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. It's talking about Jesus, of course. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. So, just as the avoidance of bad spiritual contagion takes much work and effort, so also does the voluntary catching, the self-infection of good spiritual contagion. We see this in Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back there. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. So, you know, God is the one who gives us salvation, but we have to, you know, we can't just sit back and do absolutely nothing. We have to work on it too. We have to work on it too. Otherwise, we'll slide right back into the world. Once again, in a similar but opposite way, as those poor folks with the bad contagious diseases must be quarantined, isolated and separated from others, we who desire to contract a good contagion, the good contagion that is offered to us by Jesus and the Father, we must do the opposite. Again, we've been told over and over again here in the scriptures, we've got to draw close to them, and we've got to draw close to each other as well. Let's go back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, brethren, please, in this time of COVID-19, please beware of bad contagion. Please beware of bad contagion, both physical and spiritual. Try not to catch it from your children or your grandchildren or anyone else. But in love for others, please obey God's laws of quarantine. And as children of God, let's be voluntarily seeking God's good spiritual contagion by drawing close to God the Father and to our elder brother Jesus. Let's get close to them and let them get close to us so that we can deliberately catch what they have and that we can deliberately catch all the good that they have to give to us.